Welcome to our podcast.
If you enjoy this segment, we encourage you to check out the others. Also, if you're new to HedgEye, you qualify for a special discount on one of our HedgEye investing products. Email customer service director Matt Moran at mmoran@hedgeye.com. That's mmoran@hedgeye.com.
Good morning, I'm Daryl Jones, director of research at HedgEye. Welcome to Macro Show for Jobs Friday, March 5th, 2021.
A lot going on.
We get a little bit of a Quad 2 jobs report, or?
Yep. This is no surprise. No surprise at all to the bond market. This jobs report, I think Dr. Drake, Scott Christian Drake at HedgEye USA, who should absolutely follow, can give you a couple pictures on what's been going on here. This has, of course, been developing. So again, like everything in macro, it happens slowly and then all at once, and the bond market absolutely nailed it. Yes, there are factors in the U.S. stock market where people are getting nailed, but again, you get a lot of other things right at the same time, including the gold short. Let's just get into it this morning. Number one is going to be the NASDAQ, obviously. We've got a lot of anxieties there. Number two, going to hit on oil, and then number three, just going to finish the OODA loop on interest rates. But first, on the NASDAQ, this started signaling, don't forget, back on February the 24th, so that is what it is, and it's always about the incremental. It's always about the flow. It's always about the pace and the flow. Can you execute incrementally, take capital away from things that aren't behaving well, which included tech, and put it towards where it is behaving well? So it's not just NASDAQ. It's NASVOL. We talked about this yesterday. So again, this has been cumulative. We don't jump in there on some valuation metric. It's a signal. Again, the quad might say to be long that. The signal says not. Why would I buy that if the signal says buy that and the quad says it? That's how we do it. Don't forget, energy yesterday, if you look at the bongo board, was a wonderful place to have your capital, obviously, in as much as commodities broadly. Look at oil this morning. I mean, it's making another cycle high. Again, you don't have a headache if you have energy stocks instead of FANG components that everybody else owns. Again, if you want to own FANG, own Diamondback Energy. That's the ticker. So again, at the end of the day, this is rip-roaring fun. This is predicted bond yields. Don't forget, if you get inflation right, you get the quad right, in particular in this quad too. It's blazingly obvious. Some people think it's bad for stocks because they were poorly positioned. Don't confuse people chasing stocks at the top end of the range or chasing crowded stocks whenever with what's actually been going on here in the cycle. So again, CRB index, show that as well, Genron. It's pretty much going to look the same way as oil does. Again, oil's got more push to it. Yesterday, we also bought the damn dip in copper. Did you buy the damn dip or not? So again, it was the first day that I said it. It's the only day that I'm going to say it, I think, until we say it again. How about that for a call? So again, at the low end of the range, you are either executing or you are not. If you do not subscribe to real-time alerts, you do not earn the right to understand what's going on in that window of opportunity. It was inside of 45 minutes. That's it. You got to be really good in the short term to win in the long term. You do. Or you're just going to be beta. You're just going to be the market. You know what the market's up or down this year? Zero. All right? We don't want to be zero. You don't want to be zero. That's why we're here to help you this morning. What else we got going on for you this morning? I'm not making paintings this morning. No. Rates one more time. Okay. So top end of the published range is 158, 159. But that's not based on what I get as new information. So the way that OODA loops work is that the volatility of the price, the volume, and the price itself are all constantly moving. So now I'm at 163. So on the paper, it says 158, I believe. Out of my mouth, it says 163. So again, some people again, well, I only subscribe to ETF. Well, you think you're going to get everything that I've done in 21 years with my teammates fully loaded for $30 a month? Come on, man. Get your hammers out. You can't just go to work with a screwdriver. All right? So again, it's part of the toolbox, understanding, taking good notes. Those of you that are doing the best are the ones that are deliberately studying the best. And that's a real important thing here this morning. Obviously, the rates trade has been much more important than growth versus value. If you got rates right, you got utilities, gold miners. There's so many things to be thankful for this morning, and those are your top three things. All right, picking up the pace here, Jonesy. Let's get through this quickly and then get to the questions. We are not going to suffer ourselves as fools this morning. S&P 500 risk range, by the way, a lot of upside, 6-1 upside versus downside. All right, 37.38. You're damn right I bought the dip yesterday, did you? All right, you got 0.8% downside, and that's actually pretty close to where in equity beta speak I started hitting buttons, okay? So if we see that again, what am I going to do? Get scared of myself in the fight? No. You ever been in a fight? You better be good in particular moments of that fight, or you're going to get knocked up. Okay, so at the end of the day, the difference between me and a lot of other strategists is that they never really been punched in the face and lost some of these teeth, right? Okay, so at the end of the day, understand how to take a punch intraday so that you can get up and buy something, right? So that's 6-1 upside versus downside, because this is plus 4.8% on the upside. Interestingly, which is more excitingly, the call-out, the IWM, which is the Russell 2000, has immediate term upside of plus 7.5%, okay? Let's make it 7.6, just to say that it probably is once I reload the model. Think about that. Now, you, unlike everybody else that is beta, again, S&P 500 this year, up until yesterday's close, was 0.3% return. If you're not up more than that, you're definitely a new subscriber today, okay? So again, if you're not up more than that. Now, if you're up 3, 4, 5, 10%, the best way to be up 5, 10, 15, 30% is to buy this sucker at the low end of the range and the stocks inside of it. I didn't buy that sucker. I bought IWO, which is growth, right? That's the factor exposure, if you look at it yesterday, that got hit the hardest. But it was a counter-trend move, i.e. a buying opportunity, all right? Corrections. We're in the era, though, where CNBC, interestingly, and Bloomberg, thinks every day that we go down is the sign of the bubble and the apocalypse. That's not what we've been doing. The reason why we're beating the market is because we stand tall, right? We get in the box, we execute at the low end of the range. There is tremendous upside in a lot of stocks that we hit the button on yesterday. There's no crying. There's no whining in risk management. Absolutely not. I hope you're excited this morning. I am. I'm not going to be the painter today. I wore my hedge eye black.
Good, because I was getting a little old. You know, I'm the slow talker, right? We don't need two slow talkers. I can barely get that out.
It threw some people off. You know what was slow yesterday? Thank you for mirroring me.
Well, no, I like your. I mean, I thrive off your energy, like a lot of the folks here, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of people love it.
You know? There are two Daryl Joneses here. People would go to sleep every morning.
Yeah, right? And thank you for all the feedback. I mean, we get. Out of every criticism, we get 95% compliments, and we genuinely appreciate that. If you're the kind of person who's like tweaked by whatever thing is critical, you criticize us. But Jonesy Buds and I have known each other for a long time. Yeah, this relationship here that we're having on this show has been awesome for our relationship overall, Jonesy. Or as my kids call him, Jonesy Buds. That's where that comes from. What else we got? Look at the volume. So again, what was slow yesterday, he teed me up like the pro that he is, was volume. Isn't that amazing? The pace of me picking it up intraday, you know, in that hour, in that OODA loop. What is it called? The Hour of the Wolf?
Yep.
Is that what that book is that you like?
Yeah, that's a great book about the emotions around trading in certain time periods.
Yes, yes, I like that.
The guy wrote about being on the trading desk of a huge Wall Street firm, and he could literally feel the emotions and the sentiment and figuring out how to be calm in those periods.
That's the most important thing. Now, the volume, interestingly, one more time, was down 23%. The last month, we've had a lot of volatility. For the volume to actually be that quiet relative to some of your emotions, and admit them, some of you have. I have. Look at me. Just a ball of emotion. But what? What was it? Did anything confirm? And that's what one of the few words that you should have called, one of the few words that I wrote that meant something very specific in one of those real-time alerts was episodic and non-trending it was. Just like Yoda. Just put it right there. You know. So again, what was it? The VIX is under 30.98 is trend. Volume was down, and we corrected to the low end of the range on SPYs. I didn't buy SPY. I bought things that are better than SPY. Again, you're not going to get many of these opportunities in a year. But when you get them, don't be scared of them. It's like a hockey player. When he gets the puck on the power play, finally gets D1, pro, whatever, you put him in the slot, and he can either bury that biscuit or he cannot, right? You know, a good player wants the puck. He's not scared of the puck. Yeah, I always say this to kids, and I say it just like that, by the way. And some parents love my coaching and others don't, right? So, again, you got to be who you are. I am who I am, and I'm damn proud of it. All right, let's keep going. All right, what else we got going on here? We've got Move Index up to 68. Woo, it's going to blow through 70 today. Green light. All right, that's green lights if you're positioned on the right side of interest rates. See those little arrows there yesterday? Those are three arrows that are not red lights, okay? Those are cross-asset volatility measures that tell you, yesterday the only panic, and let's go through the only panic on equities, was a uniquely American panic. Because when you look at it, it was in stocks, right? Story stocks. If you want to buy a story stock because Chamath likes it, you're going to wear that if the story isn't true, right? So forget what quad we're in. Let's just talk about what stories are or not true. I mean, there are a lot of stocks out there. It's our goal as an independent research team to find the ones that are true and short the ones that aren't. Clover, C-O-L-V, bud. Please reply to one of my tweets, Shamath. All right, what else we got going on for you this morning? Look at Asia. Last night, this is a uniquely American FOMO panic. The Nikkei, look at this. This is crazy. Crazy, okay? The Nikkei, Nick, let's call it Nick today. And the Shanghai comp, S comp. This is what these things did after people in the USA were panicking. Minus 0.23% on the session. Holy shit. And this was down a full 4 basis points. That's China and that's Japan. You know where those two countries are in the mess of human, like the population chart? Stick that in your pie chart. Who is really panicking? Come on, man. Let's keep going. India was down 1%. We get to buy more of that again? Thank you. I've been waiting for a correction on that damn thing. London, they wake up. This is the way it flows. And I did get you out of Japan before the decline, don't forget. Or at least some of it. People are like, what? You get me out of all of it? You chip proof. Come on. You're better than that. So then I wake up this morning. I'm like, okay, well, this happened overnight. This is over, right? This is called Asia. Asia. Then I go across the pond there and I see, okay, what's going on in the FTSE? How did London open? Up. Spain. What did it do? This is one of the worst freaking stock markets on the planet for the last 3 years. It even opened up. What are you doing in the morning? What are you doing? Paying attention. Again, it's a uniquely American panic that happened. Understand that that is not the economic cycle. The economic cycle is what happened in the jobs report today. The economic cycle is what happened in the ISM numbers earlier this week. So again, that's what we're talking about. Yeah. The cycle, stupid. I'm the stupid one. How about Norway? Look at the Norwegian flag. This is one of the nicest flags. Easily. Come on, Jen. Look at that. Look at that tweet. Are you long Norway? We've talked about it. It's up to you. I've had some people say I love being long Norway because it's up 4.5% in the last month. It's not the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ just went down 11.2% in a straight line. I mean, it's not the same. Okay, what else we got going on for you? We already talked about oil, gold, copper's up, corn. Another nice tweet by me this morning. I don't believe Shamak. I believe that people will eat corn. How about that? Put a SPAC multiple on that sucker. Look at how good that corn looks for you like they eat the corn on the cob. And you know what? The best thing about that, my kids eat.
Yeah, weren't you guys eating it the other night when you called me?
We love the corn. But what's better than buying the corn today is having bought it in June, July, on every damn dip. Because my family eats relative value corn. We bought the corn at lower prices, right? We have a barn we're going to build for that corn. No, we didn't. But if I did, that would be a better idea than some of Shamath's ideas. I mean, that's just a fact, okay? So let's speak in factual space. Corn and food is older than Shamath or some of these storytellers, and that's what it is. I think they're good ideas. I think commodities are still good ideas. That's just my personal view. Please don't take offense to it. 10-year yield, we already hit on that. Currency market. Two things. The currency market, so we're going to have a lot of people, oh, my God, last time the dollar was here, I freaked out. Should I freak out again? No. I'm going to short more dollars, okay? And as I've said multiple times, the main reason why the dollar is going to the top end of the range is because the Swiss currency and the Japanese currency, which are safety currencies, are for sale. So that part of the basket's getting blasted. So what you should be doing today is buying British pounds, buying Canadian dollars, and shorting the U.S. dollar against both. Okay? That's the call. No more complicated than that. You want to ask me 10 different questions, I'm going to still give you the same answer. That's the view. Okay? Upside, by the way, in the other, some people call Bitcoin a currency. I call it a commodity, towards 54,063. And a good spot, I think. Look at this call out, too. You know what's going to happen? I think could happen. In fact, it's always probable that it happens. So we go to what everybody's going to be. Everybody who doesn't do bonds is going to be talking about bonds today. That's useful, right? That's like me talking about the piano. Why don't I give you guys a lesson on the piano today? Come on. No. So if we get, let's say the top end of the range is what I just punched it in to be, 1.63%. Man, that's ugly. So let's say, okay, now you're at the top end of the range. Well, what did the smartest bond market that called this all the way back to the beginning? You rewind all the tapes. Like, why did we nail it like we nailed it? Remember that day that I told you that the JGB yield, 10-year yield, Japanese yield, started moving higher for the first time in rate of change terms? And it's all about the rock. It's all about the rate of change. It doesn't matter that the JGB yield went from 2 basis points to 6, and that's only 4. It's that 2, you know, using the rate of change of 2 going to 6 is actually a lot. You know what it did tonight? Wait on it. -4 basis points. So what if you wake up Monday morning and bond yields go to 155 and Japanese bond yields go down again? Then what's the bear case? Bond yields are falling in quad 2 from the top end of the range. The best part about where we are today is that we're just fortunate to be alive. Let's start with that. The second best part about being alive is being able to execute, understanding that the likelihood of the narrative next week is that bond yields actually go down from the top end of the range. And those who are thinking that stocks can only go up when bond yields go down, they get their narrative back. I like that. All right, let's take some points.
Okay, number one question. What do you think it is?
I'm not guessing today.
You already kind of nailed it. It's the dollar.
Oh, it's the dollar. Okay.
Okay, so I'll ask it. I don't know. We can probably go through this quick. If the dollar switches to bullish trend upwards, can we still remain in quad 2 rising inflation and growth?
I don't know. The dollar going up means nothing. The dollar going up to the top end of the range is called a short selling opportunity. The dollar getting above trend and holding above trend would be the phase transition you're talking about. And for the U.S. dollar index, that number is 93.45, not even close.
Okay. This is Brian from Ireland. Number two question. Hi, guys. Wondering, given the move in silver, where does its trend stand? Excuse me. Is it in the basket of in quad 2 you buy commodities, or do we just like others more, example, copper, et cetera? Thanks for all the help. Love all the learning.
Yeah, I should have. Silver is very close to breaking on a trend basis. It doesn't. It's obviously not gold. Gold's been awful. Did I say gold is down 19.5% from its cycle peak, guys? People are still quibbling over crash or massive drawdown, whatever you want to call it. Down 20, they'll have to call it a crash. But again, gold's a currency. Down 10 or more is a crash. But silver has taken on some of those attributes. So that's from a factoring perspective, and correlation is what I really mean by that. So you can see that if you run correlations, the ones that aren't published, because I run correlations on everything, you can see that. So I don't like that. I mean, silver on a bounce, I'm going to sell some, because I just don't want or need to be long that. I got a lot of equities that are all of a sudden for sale that I didn't think I could get more of, which I like a lot more than silver, as you know. Silver's never been my finest cup of tea, and I don't drink tea. So there you go. But again, silver's intermediate-term trend is, as I actually just wrote it down this morning, obviously, 24.76. Breaking that, I'd short it.
Okay. Third question here is about Ival. This is Ben from France, or Benjamin from France. Hi, Keith. About Ival, the product is supposed to perform well with the curve steepening. What went wrong with Ival for the last 2 weeks? Biggest decline of the product since April 2020?
I think there was first of all, it's not my product, so ask them. You know, it's not what things are supposed to do in very short windows of time versus the trend.
Yeah.
You know, you could also have asked the question, hey, you know, the curve wasn't really steepening and Ival was working every single day. You know, like Ival literally wasn't having down days for a long period of time. So part of the answer is that it already discounted a lot of the steepening. The other part is the flow. So what happened on this rates move is that the same type of thing happened in high yield. You'd say high yield spreads didn't really move, but high yield bonds got hammered, right, towards the low end of the range twice. Okay, well, why? Well, because there's flow out of fixed income securities, no matter what they are or what they purport to do. That's called flow, okay? So again, there's two big reasons right there. I particularly am not concerned about it. I mean, today, if there was a day to be long a steepener from the low end of the range, which Ival's at, which I'm going to be buying the living daylights out of because I'm going to go from 6% probably towards 8% if it's for sale throughout the day. That's where I'll buy, not 25 basis points. This is Ival. The risk range on Ival is like as wide as my eyelid. Okay, so again, you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. I'm going to take that position up because the yield curve, I should have called this out as well. On the jobs data, what did the curve do? I mean, first of all, do we have a chart of the yield curve? I think we do because we definitely do because we've been highlighting it this week. But the yield curve, tens minus twos today, 10-year yield minus the 2-year yield is plus 146 basis points. All right? 146 basis points. That's up five basis points steeper than where it was yesterday, and it was at, and it's actually started the week at 128. 128 was close to the cycle high for the 10-2 spread. Now we're at 146. That's why the financials are killing it. Okay? Thank you. So new cycle highs across the board. There's no fundamental reason not to own a bank stock when you get a steepening curve and ameliorating economic conditions in quad two. Zero. Okay? Zero. Like, that's why the financials look way better than tech, right? Are you okay with that? Are you okay with me having said I didn't like financials as much as tech, and now I like financials a lot more than tech? You got to be okay with it or not, right? That's just what I'm doing. Yeah. So I have the unique ability, because I'm not as smart as many people, to just be so numb to what I actually own that I am maybe the numbest person that you could listen to throughout the day.
Okay. This is from Carl.
By the way, somebody told me to use the word numb instead of dumb.
Ah, I like that. I like that. Right. It's from Carl. Coach, did you signal 9 buy signals yesterday afternoon? I may have lost count. Did you do that because you saw the 10-year yield reach the top end of the range? I remember you mentioning something about this during yesterday's macro show. Thanks.
Yeah, I said if I see 150, it's one of the many reasons. I mean, I obviously was watching Equity Ball in particular on the things that I was buying because I was mostly equity. Yeah, I mean, if you go back, like some guy paid me a nice compliment the other day. He said, you're like Tony Romo. You know how like Tony Romo like just says, hey, well, if you watch this here, you know, he's going to throw that ball down there. And if that guy's there, then that's going to happen over here. That's pretty much, you know, I'm not Tony Romo. Obviously, you know, I'm just the mucker. But, I mean, you at the end of the day, yeah, that's part of what I was looking at. Like, Romo doesn't take two steps back and just, like, look at one thing. You got to see all the things, right? And one of the things was, yes, if bond yields freak people out one more time towards the top end of the range, which yesterday I said was 155, and it got there right on the screws, and the VIX is signaling immediate term overbought, and the things that I'm buying are signaling oversold, again, not everything was signaling oversold. The things I hit the button on were signaling oversold. So those are the most oversold. So those, you know, instead of using valuation, what am I using? Risk premium, right? Now people are saying, wow, I'm really scared of this thing. It's not about the multiple. It's about the risk premium that goes into it and then comes out of it. When it goes up, implied vol goes down. Look at that implied vol data today. What did I do on Tuesday? I went net short in my PA. People are like, well, I'm not sure about that. Real-time alerts was 10 by 7. No. Even if it was, if that was my portfolio, which is not, the 7 shorts, don't forget that there's some huge shorts that I have, which include treasuries and gold, which get you net short because those positions are bigger than equity positions. But again, now it's all implied vol premium. On Tuesday morning, it was minus 2. Right? We're going to do this. We're going to do this today. We're going to be very professional and specific about everything that absolutely happened. Okay? So when you come in, when you came in to work and you were watching me on Tuesday, I said implied vol on SPY was minus 2, on XLU is minus 2, XLE minus 1. Okay? Implied vol discounts are not buy signals. Okay? Particularly after the market goes up and all the upside versus downside goes away in a day, which it did on Monday. Okay? So again, don't be mad. Don't be too glad. Be better. That's what we want you to do. Study the process. What did you do? Why did you do it? What were your sizes? How did you do it? And this is up to you, right? It's not up to me. I'm not going to sit there at home and hold your hand doing this. I'm going to give you a lot of tools, though, so that your hands are working in the right spots at the right time.
Okay, we're going to go to the bottom of the queue now. So, you know, we have a bunch of new people viewing the show, so
cool.
we'll hit some of the
they must think I'm absolutely nuts at
questions that just came in. This is Ransom. Hey Keith, Ransom from Jackson, Wyoming. Love Jackson, by the way. Yesterday you said that you didn't think yield curve control would affect the quad outlook, but could you explain how you'd trade the bond market if the Fed starts backing up the truck for bonds? I guess if they start buying long bond.
I don't even know, like, what to do with that question. Yeah. I didn't know what to do with that question yesterday on yield curve control, and then the follow-up question is equally, like, I won't... The Fed's been buying every bond that they've been able to buy. Like, I mean, isn't that new? What if they do what they've been doing? I mean, I don't get that question.
Okay.
Matt, I'm going to do what I just told you I've been doing for 24 minutes so far. That's what I'm going to do. I don't... And I know you guys can really improve with this. The days of you reading a Bloomberg article or one on Zero Edge saying, well, this could happen, and then you might think about this. I don't care. I care about the numbers. Right? I care about these numbers and tickers. They're so precious to me. But not one of them is more precious than the other. It's just like,
you know, it's... Okay. This is Matt in Texas. You actually sort of touched on this, but why did you buy IWO instead of IWN? IWN chart looks healthier trend to me. Than, you know, but it also has higher sector weights in financials, energies, et cetera, than IWO.
Well, because I had a position, I had it in RTA, and I was waiting on it. I wrote exactly what, you know, the answer isn't that you thought IWN was healthier. The answer is I have issues, right? It was one of my issues. I got, if you want to write them down, they're all there. I have silver as an issue, IWO still an issue, One Medical, GDRX, and EOC. All right, so those are five issues, right? I have, there's 22 things on the sheet, right? 22 minus five, I got five issues. I got what I think are going to be a lot of big winners too. So, but again, IWO was something that I had to help you OODA loop, right? I screwed it up, but I didn't make the second mistake, which is buy it the whole way down like amateurs do. I waited till the capitulation day in the market, rates up, everything we've talked about. Then I hit the button again because I think I can OODA loop out of that one, all right? It's not a big position, absolutely not. You don't get bigger in losers. You get them out. And sometimes you whatever you have left, and in that, in RTA, because so many of you need me to help you with a loser, that's how I did it. You know, it has nothing to do. I didn't start today's show with like you know, that's my favorite thing to buy. I do like it within the context of where the Russell is because I want to be long growth as a factor more so than value. But when you identify it that way, I don't disagree with that either because IWN does have energy and financials, and I like those. Those are two of my top four sectors. Don't forget the third. What did I buy yesterday? No questions on it yet. Basic materials. We did have questions earlier in the week on it when it was higher. Okay, oversold signal. Buy it. Right. One institutional PM asked me, are you going big on that one here? Yeah, I went big on that and on copper. So again, the first things I bought MSOS, copper, and XLB, I think. I can't really remember the order, but I bought like 10 different things, okay? So an IWO was like a mistake that I think will be a non-mistake off yesterday's signal, because again, there's two signals there. It's not like a two dots equal a max position or something. Over the years, people have been confused because they're just confused about the game in general, but you know, how I express it, I think, is explicit. These are signals. It's not a portfolio. I don't think IWO is as good a position as energy's been because it hasn't. That's just an empirical fact.
Okay, hold on here. Questions are coming in hot and heavy. Ed from Sarasota. Buying SPAC at the low end of the range is ideal when momentum changes. RTA is great, but didn't cover all the SPACs when momentum changed, and we should have sold in the last 2 days. Suggestions how to manage?
Well, I didn't sell all of them, but I sold plenty of them. Yeah. I mean, it's not like I don't know what to do. Like I don't know what to like. It when the Nasdaq goes down 11% and the Russell corrects 7%, if you're long anything that is of that ilk, you're gonna say everything I didn't sell. If I didn't sell everything, then it was a mistake. I can't do all or nothing. I did pretty close. Like on Friday, last Friday, if you'll recall, yeah. I went to 21 longs and one short. So every single day, like I'm not going to result on that, actually. The point there is that the analyst still likes it. I think the market's going to capitulate for the third time already in 2021. The first time, what was it? It was hedge fund managers were too short, high short interest stocks. The second one, they're long momentum. The third one, now they don't understand interest rates. They're all different. But they're all the same. They're all quad two. Long, high, short interest. Long, again, the other side of interest rates going up. And momentum, you just got to risk manage it like you would in any other market, right? And what SPACs ended up getting at the end was a lot of relative momentum because other momentum sold off. Yeah. And then old momentum sold off, right, including the growth. So, you know, that's what it is. We're not going to result on having not sold all. How do I go from 21 longs to zero longs in 2 days? I mean, a lot of you freaked out because I went from 21 to 10, right? I went from 21 to zero and booked losses in things that I don't think are going to be losses as we play this part of the rally out. Don't forget, I think the stock market's going to all-time highs. Why would I do that? In the moment of people's pain, other people's pain, I sell it so that you feel better that I sold it? It's not, no, it's not, that's not that. Today was a good day to tell you exactly how I think, right? No muffler. Nothing. My wife would love to put one on my muzzle, muffler, whatever, both. Right? But I don't care. I've told her, just like this sometimes when we get in arguments, I'm like, you either love me or you don't. Right?
And with that, I think we will have a great day out there. Have a great weekend. And thanks for tuning in today. Take care.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. As a reminder, new Hedgeye subscribers may qualify for a special discount on one of our Hedgeye investing products. Email customer service director Matt Moran at mmoran@hedgeye.com. That's mmoran@hedgeye.com. This content is for informational purposes and does not constitute an offer to sell or buy any investment vehicle, nor does it constitute an investment recommendation or legal, tax, accounting, or investment advice. This information is presented without regard for individual investment preferences or risk parameters and is general, non-tailored, non-specific information. Hedgeye believes the information sources to be reliable but is not responsible for errors, inaccuracies, or omissions. The opinions expressed are those of the individual speaking. All investments entail a certain degree of risk, and financial instrument prices can fluctuate based on several factors, including those not considered in the preparation of the content. Consult your financial professional before investing. The information is protected by copyright laws and is intended solely for the use of its authorized recipient provided access by Hedgeye. Redistribution or republication is strictly prohibited and subject to the terms of service at Hedgeye.com.